Adjustments is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 9. I would urge you all to read this week down to verse 15. It will serve as our preaching platform for a few weeks to come. Joshua chapter 14. Verses 6 through 9. As we adjust, I remind us it's time out for playing church. Somebody ought to be able to say amen. If you're not saved, today's a good day to get saved. Because for all you know, this will be the last opportunity you have to say yes to the Lord. We remind everyone that there's a communication form in your bulletin. You can indicate on that form that you want to accept Christ or that you want to join the church. And the team will be in touch with you this week. We prefer the old school way that you just walk down the aisle, but we understand it's a new school day. And so if you just want to complete the form and have the team follow up with you, that's fine. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 9 says, "Now the people of Judah approach Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. As I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" I want to start talking today about principles for receiving great blessings. Principles for receiving great blessings. I must confess that I am preaching based on the assumption that somebody here wants to have some great blessings in their life. Am I in the right house? Anybody here want great blessings in your life? Now, if we were to interview, we may find different answers. Somebody might want a car. Another may want a better job. Some person may want a home. But there's others who want some peace of mind. You got enough stuff, you just want peace of mind with the stuff that you already have. Others want positive companionship. Others want better health. But I think most of us got something in our mind about what kind of blessings we would love to have. How many of y'all know that the same God who blessed Caleb is able to bless you? Oh, yeah. If God can bless Caleb with a whole Hebron, a hill country city, then God is able to do great things in your life. However, you ought not expect to get what Caleb got if you're not willing to do what Caleb did. Did you hear what I said? You ought not expect to get what Caleb got if you're not willing to do what Caleb did. And so our text teaches us principles for receiving great blessings. So today I want to look at three of the principles. If you're taking notes, here's the thesis. We should work on respecting leadership, promise keeping, and being sendable. If you can't do these, you might as well go on to the next chapter of Joshua. Chapter 14 is for people who know how to respect leadership, keep their promises, and are sendable. So here then is the first principle for us respecting leadership. Notice in verse 6 that Caleb comes to Joshua with his request for the hill country. The King James says, "Give me this mountain." He comes to Joshua because Joshua is the leader of the Dane. If you read verse 7, you see Caleb talking about how he was faithful. He followed the instructions of the then leader, Moses. If you want to have what Caleb had, you got to get this principle under your belt. Learn how to respect leadership. Now, I got about 5 things to say under respecting leadership. Y'all ready? The first one is some people go to the wrong person. Some people go to the wrong person. They want something, but they're going to the wrong person to get what they want. For example, it is not strange to see people having some difficulties in marriage. Every marriage I know of has some hills and some valleys. However, if you're having marital problems, you probably don't want to go to somebody who's single or somebody who is unhappily married trying to get marital counseling. Somebody ought to be able to say amen. If you are broke and you're trying to get your money together, you probably don't want to go talk to another broke person about how to get your money together, because if they knew how to get their money together, they would have their own money together, right? If you're trying to discern God's will for your life, you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, you probably don't want to spend too much time with people who are highly religious but are spiritual midgets. They got a lot of time in, but they haven't grown much since they've been around. You know, in school, we have this concept called social promotion. Whether the child is ready for the second grade or not, they push them on because you can't have 2 groups of first graders, so you got to push one on so the new group will at least have a chance to catch the first grade curriculum. But in church, you don't necessarily get promoted from grade to grade. We just assume if a person been in church for 5 years, they must be in the 5th year of development. Pastor's telling you all these folk that's been here for 40 years are not in the 40th year of development. Some of them have stayed in the 2nd and 3rd level of development. For the last 40 years, they've been spending at the 3rd grade level. The Pharisees were highly religious, but they crucified my Lord. And therefore, you don't want to be a part of that group that's always going to the wrong person. Now, in case you think I'm being too hard on the situation, listen to Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 14b. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14b. It says, "If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." It's bad to be blind, but it's worse to follow a blind person. Both of y'all gonna end up in the ditch somewhere. That was the first thing. Some people go to the wrong person. Here's the second idea under respecting leadership. Some just do what they want to do. On one hand, you got some that's going to the wrong people for what they want, and then some people just say, "Well, since I want it, I'm going to get it." They just go do what they want to do. It's almost as if they have not read Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. It's God's idea. It's not human idea. It's God's idea that we would have human structures and authority. Listen to Romans 13:1, because there are those who think this is just an Old Testament concept, but Romans 13 is well into the New Testament. Romans 13:1 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. When you cannot follow leadership, that's not just a problem with the leader, that's a problem with God, because God was the one who said, follow the leader. I didn't expect to get too many amens there, but I did think I was going to get at least two. Thought I was going to get at least two. Listen, thank you, Ernie. Thank you, bro. It does not belittle you to follow leadership. What it does is demonstrate that you trust God to work things out somehow. In fact, if you be faithful, you'll discover God has a way of promoting you from being the one that is asking and reporting to the person who is being asked of and being reported to. If you be faithful, God can promote you on the team. Let me just say this so your blood won't be on my hands. If you go out here and do what you want to do, it might work for a minute, but it won't last. I say, if you just go out here and do what you want to do, if God hasn't blessed it, it might work for a minute, but it will not last. Do what you want to do with your family, but God has a way of seeing that what's done in the dark comes to the light. The shady stuff you do on your job, your negligence of health, it might last for a season, but seasons come and seasons go. In Judges chapter 9, those of you who are walking with us on Wednesday night will discover that Gideon had a son by the name of Abimelech. Abimelech was a very treacherous fella. He had all 70 of his half-brothers killed on one stone. And for 3 years, there was peace in the area. But at the end of 3 years, the Lord said, that's enough. It's time for me to avenge all of these deaths. What I'm trying to get you to see is you might have peace for a season, but the season don't last if God has not favored what you're trying to do. Here's a text I preach to y'all every year. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27. Matthew 7, verse 26 and 27 says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house, but built it on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I guess I'm trying to tell you, only what you do for Christ will last. That's the second thing under respecting leadership. The third thing now is report back to the leader. Learn how to report back to the leader. You would have to be familiar. I don't have time to read it, but you would have to be familiar with what happened with Moses. Moses sent spies into Canaan. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, came back to Moses and essentially said, it'd be hard, but with God's help, we can make it. The rest of the spies, now remember, all of the spies were sent by Moses. All of the spies were sent by Moses. How many spies sent by Moses? All of the spies sent by Moses, but only two of the spies come directly back to Moses, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of the spies, they go talk to the people. And they talk about how the report caused the hearts of the people to melt. They received the report unfiltered through the prayers of the leader, and they became afraid. Worse than being afraid, they began murmuring, complaining, running their devilish mouth. God got so angry with their murmuring spirit, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Everybody that's 20 years old and up, with all y'all going to die out here in the wilderness. These are the consequences of just spreading discord among the body of God's people. If the leader sends you out, you ought to come back to the leader with report. Somebody say amen. I've seen too many times folk bring the report back to some of anybody except to who they should bring it back to. We see it in our community, don't we? drug boy on the corner selling this package, and we go tell the neighbor, and we go tell everybody except Popo. Mm-hmm. There's deep, dark secrets in our families, and instead of going to report to proper authorities, we'd rather just fest and nest and nurture the taboo of our family. And then in our churches, most of us know somebody in church is doing something they're not supposed to do, but because it's your friend, you just let it slide. You are also enabling misconduct in the body of Christ. I got to keep moving. The fourth thing under respecting leadership is report thoughtful and prayerful information. This is the fourth thing, report thoughtful and prayerful information. You ought not just report the first thing that comes to your mind. You ought to think and pray before you report. We are still recuperating from that unfounded search of weapons of mass destruction. Y'all remember that? That was the pretense for us getting in war, that we were supposed to have been trying to find some weapons of mass destruction. And here we are now, billions of dollars later. Here we are, hundreds of body bags later, with American soldiers in the body bags, and all kinds of other projects have been put on the back burner, and we haven't found one weapon of mass destruction. This is the damage of bad reporting. And therefore, when you and I give our report, we want to make sure we have prayed about it. Listen again to verse 7 of our text, Joshua 14, verse 7. It says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. Those words are important. According to my convictions, that Caleb had some feeling about the report. Here then is the fifth and final thing under respecting leadership. Before y'all fall asleep, let me just tell y'all to them one more time. Some people go to the wrong people. Some people just go do what they want to do. Report back to the leaders, number three. Report thoughtful and prayerful information, number four. Here's the fifth thing under respecting leadership. Report with a wholehearted commitment to following the Lord. The fifth point is report with a wholehearted commitment to following the Lord. Caleb was able to serve under Moses, and he was able to serve under Joshua because ultimately he was serving the Lord. When you are serving the Lord, you find yourself less distracted about who the Lord is using to be the immediate supervisor. Supervisors come and go, but when you're serving the Lord has a way of working things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Caleb recommended to Moses 45 years earlier than our text. It'd be hard, but we can make it. But because of the evil report, it cost him 45 years of his life. But because Caleb was committed to the Lord, he decided, I'll just wait until my appointed time. If you want great blessings in your life, you got to learn how to respect leadership, not just because of the person that's sitting in the seat today, we come and we go, but because of your commitment to the Lord. Now, if you really got this point, understand it's much bigger than study, serving, and giving. That's nice. That's first grade stuff, but you got to graduate from first grade. God wants rulership of your entire life. He wants rulership of your attitude. I said your attitude. You ought to check your attitude because God is watching. You ought to take care of your health, your finances, because God is watching. You ought to watch who you hang with, because God is watching. There are some trouble we would have never got into if it wasn't for the company that we were keeping. Because you are a Christian, because you are committed wholeheartedly to the Lord, it ought to impact how you relate to your loved ones. You ought to be a better husband because you love the Lord. You ought to be a better wife because you love the Lord. You ought to be a better parent because you love the Lord. Jesus is not just for shouting on Sunday morning in worship. Jesus ought to have rulership of your entire life. You ought to be a trustworthy employee because you are a Christian. How are you going to be a stealing Christian? Take them people back their pens. Take that computer back to that job. Stop taking those people's towels and hats and stuff out the room. Put the stuff back. You're a Christian. First principle, if you want great blessings in your life, is respecting leadership. Second principle is promise keeping. Somebody say promise keeping. Notice that when Caleb addressed Joshua, he didn't go to Joshua for a hookup. He went hoping that Joshua would keep the promise. Moses made the promise, but Joshua was expected to keep the promise. Three quick things about promise keeping. First of all, make promises prayerfully. I said make promises prayerfully. Don't be too quick to make a promise, because the promise you make might have to be carried out for generations coming along behind you. Moses made the promise, but Joshua had to keep the promise. Think about how that plays out in our life. We can see it with church mortgages. Two of the three mortgages that have been paid off in the history of this church. One pastor created, and the second pastor had to come along and pay off the debt. That has happened twice of the three mortgages of our history. But it's not just church. How many know, even in your personal life, the decisions that you make have ripple effects for years, if not generations, to come? College choices comes to mind. The major that you choose today can have all kinds of impacts on employment and business opportunities, student loan, people that you're going to meet along life journey. It's true, you can change your mind. You may have went to school to be a lawyer, and then you changed and decided you wanted to be a doctor. You can make a change, but how many of y'all know it's going to cost you some time, and it's going to cost you some money? And if you come over here on the doctor track and decide now you want to be an accountant, you can turn, you can change your mind, but it's going to cost you some more time. It's going to cost you some more money. So then instead of flying by the seat of our pants, let's learn how to pray about our decisions. James chapter 1, verse 5, James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Here's the second thing under promise keeping: written promises. This promise of our text, we have no record of it ever being written down. How many of y'all know, however, if you are making an important promise, it's a good idea to write it down? Because when you write it down, it's easy for you to remember what you have promised and what has been promised to you. When you don't write stuff down, all kinds of stuff can happen. Sometimes it is because of our fading memories of what we thought we had agreed upon. And then sometimes we have problems remembering because of that troublemaking, lying, accusing, manipulative devil that's always trying to sow seeds of discord. We got some help forgetting what we said. We got some help with why we can't remember what the agreement was. The devil is always trying to cause trouble. This is why we have written administrative agendas for ministry. We have marriage licenses for marriage, employment contracts for employment. If it's important, you might want to write that down. Third and finally, now under promise keeping, is keep your promises. Somebody said, keep your promises. As believers, we should already be promise keepers. Just because you claim to be saved, any saved people up in here? Ain't none over here. Any saved people in here? All right, I got about four of them over here. Saved people. Y'all need to get saved over here. I don't know what's wrong with this side of the room. Y'all need to get saved. Y'all gonna make me go get some oil. Listen, if you're saved, you ought to keep your promises. Your word ought to mean something. However, it creates suspicion. You cause people not to trust what you're saying. If you make promises in the Lord's house and don't keep them, it's hard to trust that you're going to keep promises you make outside the Lord's house. Now, y'all saying amen like y'all keep the promises. Let me help you. In the house, every first Sunday, we talk about diligently studying God's word. We talk about how we're going to give the church a place in our service. Talk about how we're going to give as God has prospered us. It's just more words for study, serve, and give. We talk about how we're going to support the values of our church. All of us ought to be talking about evangelism and edification, love and worship, community involvement and excellence. It's not just the pastor's vision, it's the church's vision to have 400 in worship, to have 250 in growth groups, and to make a God-sized impact in Avondale. God hasn't given us all this Holy Ghost just so we can feel good for 2 hours on Sunday morning. Sunday morning ought to be a pep rally for the service that we render once we leave sacred ground. Our word ought to mean something. But when you check our records, you discover we don't necessarily keep our word. As Christians, our credit rating ought to be better than other people's credit rating. I wish I had a mirror or a camera up here so y'all can see how y'all looking at me right now. Because we are Christians, when we slide the credit card, we are making a promise that we're going to pay the credit card. Now, I think it's bad business for you to be going to these check cashing places. I think that's highway robbery. But if you go over there and take their money, you get to pay people's money back. So you don't be leaving church looking for your car and discover your car done went on down the road, the repo man that came, because you're not keeping your promise. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. Proverbs 6, 17. Of the 6 things that God hate and the 7 that he find detestable, the 2nd on the list is a lying tongue. Here then is the last principle for today. We've talked about respecting leadership. We've talked about promise keeping. Thirdly, now being sendable. Notice that Caleb at the age of 40 was sent by Moses to go spy out the land. Can I first of all tell you that we need more sendable people? Right here, right now, we need some more sendable people. Now, I need us to be mature enough to hear what more means. More does not mean we're not doing anything right now. More just means we can do better. So we thank God what we do with young people, men and women. But anybody ought to be able to see we need some more help so that we can do even more with our young people. I don't want to hear anybody complaining to me about our young people if you're not helping us with the young people that we have. We need help with our men, with our women. There's more to men and women than what we can do every 3 months. The seniors need more. The singles need more. The married need more. Man, there's a whole mountain of stuff that needs to be done inside the house. But when you go outside the house, my Lord, there are mountains of work that need to be done. But perhaps the most prominent, hear me well now, perhaps the most prominent need outside the church is what the secular community would call personal development. Millions of dollars are coming down this Reading Road corridor. All kinds of houses are being built and rehabbed. This Ponziana is going to be a marvelous place to live in the Elmina and all these other places. And new houses are being put in places you didn't even think they could put a house in. And they got all these retail stores. I mean, man, it's just going to be great. The brick and mortar is going to be great. But how many of y'all know people got to live in the houses? And if the people's heads are not right, they're going to tear your house up. I know y'all got some cousins. I'm not the only one. Y'all got some cousins. They done moved into place, and when they moved in, it looked good. But in less than a year, it did not look as good as it used to look. It's not because the paint was bad. It's not because the carpet was bad. It's because the person was bad. You got to fix the person. Now, I'm surely not the one that want to blame the victim for the problems in their life. It is true that there is some discrimination that leads to so much unemployment among our people. There's discrimination that leads to so many of our black men and black women being incarcerated. There's some discrimination that leads to the health disparities. There's some discrimination that leads to so much family dysfunction. All that's true. However, none of the above give us an excuse to kill one another. None of the above give us an excuse to go out and be a crackhead or a heroin addict or to do all this terrible stuff to yourself. This is a personal development problem. Now, as a preacher, I would prefer to talk about discipleship development. I prefer to talk about you need to get saved so the Holy Ghost can help you work on yourself. But some people ain't ready for no Jesus talk. They don't want to talk about no Holy Ghost. They ain't talking about no baptism, no communion, none of that. They're not at that point. But while we talk about personal development, can you put your gun down? Can you put your gun down? We don't have to talk about Jesus, but can we talk about put your gun down? We don't have to talk about join the church, join the mosque, go to the synagogue, but can we talk about put your gun down? Just plain self-preservation says we got to stop killing one another. I know you're stressed, but you're not the only generation that's been stressed. You think you stressed, just turn the hand of time back. 50, 75 years, they were lynching us. They were raping us. They were sicking dogs on us. You're not the only generation that know about stress. Turn back the hand of time. 150 years ago, we were slaves in this country. Stress is not new. But this crazy stuff of I'm mad because my father left me, my mama didn't hold me enough, so I'm going to shoot you. This is crazy. I'm scared of schooling, so I'm going to go out here and do all these crazy things. I'm strapped going to a fifth grade class. You strapped going to a fifth grade class. And the mama, talking about what Reverend, he got to protect himself. Stop saying crazy stuff like that. Fifth graders ought not be going to school with weapons and knives and what have you. This is crazy. The heroin epidemic is real. Did y'all hear me say the heroin epidemic is real? I don't want to take anything away from that. The heroin epidemic is real. But one of the reasons it's so real is because so many white women are dying. Crack is our drug of choice. Okay? I'm not saying that proudly. That didn't come out right. Let me. Bloop, 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 bloop. Heroin is getting so much fanfare because white women are dropping like flies ODing on heroin. And that's absolutely terrible. That's bad, that's bad, that's bad. But if you go up and down Avondale Street, chances are you're gonna run into crack way before you run into heroin. The problem is those black faces that's dying don't have as much PR as those white faces that are dying. Both of them are bad. What I'm telling you is, as we build all these stores and grocery stores and all this stuff, that's gonna look beautiful. That's gonna be nice. But that's not gonna mean anything if you don't work on the people. The people will go and rob the store that you just built. Before you know anything, they got graffiti all over your spank brand new building. They gonna talk, that's not nice. Let me find a better way of saying that. They gonna talk some Europeans into moving into Avondale and those apartments that they gonna put over those places, and they gonna be out here walking their poodle, thinking that this is over the Rhine, that it's nice and neat over here. And Pookie gonna come around the corner, tatted up all over his face. He just got out. Pookie gonna say, who is this? What? We gotta fix the people. And we need some sage people in the system. We need sage people in the NAACP. We need sage people, National Action Network. We need sage people in the Urban League. Because everything not gonna be fixed by the church. There's some folk that would rather die than to come to church, but thank God the church is us. You don't have to come into the building to have church. We'll bring the church out to you. We are the church. When we leave here, the church will be walking out the doors. Personal development. I was supposed to be finished with this sermon by now. We need to be sendable. In order to be sendable, we got to make sure we are competent. And if you are not competent now, thank God you can be trained. That's the easy C, competency. The harder C is character. If you're going to be sendable, you got to have the right character. You got to be trustworthy. That's character. You have to be accountable. That's character. You have to be humble. That's character. You have to be teachable. That's character. You got to have follow through. That's character. You got to have a God consciousness about what you do. If you sing, you ought to sing for God's sake. If you usher, you ought to do it for God's sake. If you prepare the food, you ought to do it for God's sake. If you're not doing it for God's sake, it won't be long before you stop doing it. Only thing that keeps us doing the hard work of ministry is that we believe we are serving the Lord, and serving the Lord will pay off. The third C, competency, character, the third C is chemistry. You got to be able to get along with the rest of the people on the team. As bad as LeBron James is, he got to be able to get along with the rest of the people on the team. I don't know how they lost that game last night, but I think they're still going to pull this thing out. They got to at least beat Toronto. Ain't no way in the world we can stay in Cleveland and don't beat Toronto. Ain't nobody even heard of no Toronto. LeBron James got to have chemistry. Stephen Curry, he a bad boy. That light-skinned boy can shoot that rock, but he got to get along with his team. You got to have chemistry. You can't be sent. If you are a bull in a china shop, you got to get along with the rest of your team. You might be highly talented, but if you can't get along with the team, we would rather have the team than to just have you. And then finally, under sendable, I told you we need more sendable people. I want to talk about middle agers, and I need y'all to hear my whole sentence. Don't just take a sound bite. I need you to hear this whole thing. We need to be able to send all of the generations. We need young people, because y'all got some energy. And we need older people, because of the stability and the wisdom that you can bring to the table. We need all of the generations at the table. We need all of the generations at the table. How many generations? We need all of the generations at the table. That's where the pastor started at, wasn't it? But we show enough need this middle-aged generation. I don't think it's an accident that the Bible says that Caleb was 40 when he was sent by Moses. I don't think that's just there for no reason, just needed to fill the page. I think the Lord is trying to tell us something. Surely, when we look at our church and our community, everybody can see we need this middle-aged group engaged. 30 to 50 years old. I've called this the crucial linkers for years. What does this group offer? First of all, they have some stability. Some stability. They have some energy. They have some developing wisdom. But perhaps most exciting is they got 20 plus years of service that can still be rendered. Yes. Caleb was 40 when he was sent, but in our text, he is 85 years old. That's a 45-year gap from him being sent to the time that he's asking for his area. 45 years. Now, let me tell us middle-agers, that if we're going to be of service, we got to manage our time and our energy. Now, Caleb has a daughter. She's going to get married in the next chapter. So I don't want to hear, well, I can't do anything because I got a family. Caleb was a family man, but he was still sent and did a great service for the Lord. You got to manage your time and your energy. As we get a little older, we don't have as much energy. We got the same amount of time. We still got 24 hours. Anybody got more than 24 hours a day? That's about all we get. But our energy is not what it used to be. And therefore, we have to prioritize what's most important. You cannot say that God is number one in your life and you have no time to serve Him. You can't say God is number one in my life. All to Him, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. And you can't even give an hour a week to serve? I said to serve. Now understand, you are not serving now. You're watching now. Watching and serving, that don't even sound the same. When you come to worship, to hear what the choir is singing about, hear what the pastor is preaching about, to enjoy the worship experience, you don't get no service credit for that. That's worship. Service is what the ushers are doing. When they standing up, that's serving. When the choir is sweating and their mascara is running and their voice done got tight, that's serving. People that's back there fixing that food, these media techs that's trying to zoom in on me and keep my mic right because I keep hollering and then lowering my voice, that's service. The musicians are serving. When I start off in key Z and come back to Y and finally come to some A and finally calm down and get back to B flat where I was supposed to be at, that's service. But you just sitting here watching, that's not service. You got to make time to serve the Lord because the devil is doing all he can to block the schedule. The devil is always trying to keep you busy doing something else. But even you got enough sense to know that if it's scandal or service, God ought to win that battle. How you talking about God is number one, but you talking about the reason I can't go to choir rehearsal because scandal is on. And you got a VCR. Some of y'all don't even want to watch the VCR. No, it ain't the same, Reverend. I need to watch the original. Make some time for the Lord and then serve the need and not just your desire. What you want to do, what's fun for you, what's convenient for you. The kingdom is not about what is convenient for you. The kingdom is about serving the King. This church needs much more help with growth groups, people groups, outreach efforts, trustees, media techs. These things are at the top of our list. We really don't need extra background singers that want to lip sync. You just like the fellowship of the choir. You can't sing. You just like being around singers. No. Use your gift. Let God do something unique in your ministry. You don't have to emulate somebody you're not gifted to emulate. Use the gift that God has already given. Who is that? Donald Lawrence? Use your anointing. Use what God has given you. It's not just teenagers that only serve when it's fun. It's some grown folk that does not serve, that do not serve because they don't want to. It's not fun. They have confused their hobby with ministry. Ministry is not always fun. It's not always pleasant. It's not always what you want to do. Sometimes we don't do what we want to do. We do what needs to be done. I'm almost out of here. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 verse 42b. Luke 22 verse 42b. Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was not happy about being crucified. It was not his desire to have people nail him to a cross. He prayed all night long, repeatedly, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by." But then he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Black history is full of people who did not do what they wanted to do. They did what needed to be done. Didn't nobody want to be lynched? Didn't nobody want to be raped? Didn't nobody want dogs sicked on them? Didn't nobody want fire hydrants turned on them? Didn't nobody want to be embarrassed in front of their family at the counter? But they were willing to do what needed to be done. They were willing to put themselves in harm's way because they dreamed that maybe if I work hard enough, then my children, surely my children's children, wouldn't have to go through this anymore. It's not because they wanted to, it was because they needed to. Middle ages, we're no longer children. It's time for us to do what needs to be done. Mom and them is getting a little bit too old to carry the weight. Middle agers, it's time for us to stop acting like old teenagers. We grown. It's our turn. That it's our responsibility to make sure that the baton don't drop on our watch. Our children are watching us. Our children watch us come to church 2 Sundays a month. So they say, "Well, I'm only going to go 1 Sunday a month." They watch us put $3 on the table. So they make them feel comfortable putting $1 on the table. They watch us criticize the church, criticize the pastor, don't do anything in the church. So what they going to do? They're going to criticize the church. They're going to criticize the pastor. They're not going to do anything. We are already teaching the class. Everybody sitting around here with gray hair, we all professors. And class is in session. These young folk, they might look like they're not paying you much mind. You'd be surprised how much these young folk know about you. They might not know your name because you don't talk to them, but they know you. They know how you sit. They know your mannerism. And it's easy to emulate some of y'all. Only thing they got to do is just sit there and look like this. That's easy. You had to work in the church of my upbringing. You had to shout. like Mother Clancy. You had to pray like Deacon Hardaway. Y'all making it too easy for the kids. Kids easily know how to sleep, but in the church of my upbringing, when we emulated our elders, you had to do something because church was on fire. It's our turn. And so finally, I'm hooping right now, in case y'all was wondering, is Reverend going to hoop? He hooping right now. I'm in the third octave. I'm going to land the plane. Y'all done missed it. It's hard work. It's hard work. It's not easy. But that's why everybody didn't get a mountain. Caleb got a mountain. And if you want to have what Caleb got, you got to do what Caleb did. Caleb runs a clinic on respecting leadership, promise keeping, and being sendable. And I thank God that if we give it our best, God will make up the rest. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody else say amen? God bless you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day for you to come and say yes to the Lord. God still has mountains. God still have great blessings.